Thank you so much. Thank you, Lauren. Praise team. Praise the band for leading us. Sometimes those words, I just don't know if we always get them. We sing them on autopilot sometimes, and sometimes we forget the power of what we're singing. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you turn to Hebrews chapter number 5? We're going to roll through a lot of scripture this morning to help us get our minds around this idea of growing deeper. We're in the middle of Vision 2020. These are exciting days in the life of our church. I don't know how excited you are, but I am excited. I have a hard time sitting still in my chair in the office during the week because I think about all that God is going to do in our lives, what He's already started to do. When I see shoes, when I get to take food to the primary school, when I get to meet families that we're going to impact, not only for a pair of shoes, but for eternity, because the Bible says, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. And our prayer is for any boy and girl, any mom or dad that would come tonight, that they don't know Jesus, that they'll begin to know Jesus, and they'll see Jesus in me and in you. That's our calling. This Vision 2020 talks about this idea of a renewed vision, a vision of transformation, that we desire to be a radically transformed people. What? By God into a people He can use to transform others. You read that with me? We desire to be radically transformed by God into a people He can use to transform others. What I meant to say was, would y'all read that with me? What I meant to say, I don't know if y'all heard that or not. Let's try that again because that was about as weak as it could be. Let's try it again. We desire to be radically transformed by God into a people He can use to transform others. That is our vision. That is our call, transformation in our lives. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is this transformation that will take place deep in our soul. We talk about the four key words in this picture, the idea of connect. And we're called to connect deeply with the body of Christ. That is the criteria, to connect yourself and others to Christ and the church. That is our call. And not on a surface level, not on a small level, but on a deep level. The next one, I'm going to have these on PowerPoint, Ryan. Commit your time. Grow in a deepening relationship with Christ. We'll talk about it in a moment. Commit your time and resources to serve Christ and others. And go share the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere. We talked about in order for that to happen, there had to be a DNA shift. Something had to change on the inside of who we were as individuals and even as a church body. That though we're doing some wonderful things, that God wants to do even more and even deeper and more spectacular and wonderful in our lives. And that would require some DNA shifting. Our DNA is so small and tightly compacted into our body, but you stretch it out, it would like circle around the globe like 4 or 5 times. Our DNA is so magnificent. We are fearfully and wonderfully made on the inside. But yet God wants to change the DNA of who we are as a church body. Do we understand there's a call to connect deeply, a call to grow deeper, a call to commit sacrificially, and a call to multiply rapidly? How do we do that? We talked about this, and I know this is repetition. You've been here 2 weeks in a row. You're going to go, man, I'm kind of starting to get this. Pop to the next one, if you will. I think it's still in there, Ryan. Go on the next one. That's our values. I still one day want to get to those. The picture looks like this. We want you to connect, to grow, to commit and go, to connect deeply, to grow deeper, to commit sacrificially, to go, multiply. We want to multiply rapidly, this idea of go, and that we're each finding out where we are in this process. Go on the next one, if you will. Finding out where we are in this process. So where are you in this circle? Where are you in this journey? Some of you are already at Connect. You're already growing. Maybe you've not committed to serve. Maybe you're not going yet. Maybe you're about to go. But then if you already got all the way around the circle, what is your call? Help me feel really good that y'all hear one thing I say. What is your call next? If you've already gone all the way around the circle, what's your call next? Somebody tell me. Connect with somebody else. Thank you, Whitney McDonald, and take them around the circle with you. That your job's not done. Sometimes we kind of go, well, I've got my fire and church ticket. My family knows Jesus. I'm good. I'm going to be involved in church, but I'm good. Folks, your responsibility and mine does not stop there. Our call is to disciple. Our call is to share Christ and help take somebody else around. Well, I'm not a people person. I'm not a loud person. I'm not a big, bright, bubbly person. Doesn't matter, because guess what? They're quiet people who don't like people, loud people like me. Hopefully that's not you. It's not funny. But anyway, so you see quiet people, sometimes you teach quiet people better than loud people because loud people freak out quiet people. And quiet people freak out loud people because y'all don't talk enough. And we feel like we got to carry the conversation for you, us, them, and everybody else, right? And so what is it? We're all different. We're all going to reach different people. But all of us have the same call. We just might go about it differently. We might do it in a different way. But we all have the same call. The call to go, this DNA shift, this transformation. So where are you? And we want you to be identifying right now. So we come to Sunday, March the 1st, you'll be able to say, this is my next step in connecting. This is my next step in growing. This is my next step in committing. This is my next step in going. Every one of us to identify this year, but we look towards 2020, that this is my next step up. Our next step up in giving, and our generosity letter is also a part of this. And I'm going to be a first-time giver, and I'm going to jump up and be an occasional giver or an intentional giver. And I'm going to become a tither or an extravagant giver. We want everybody, here it is, the next step. That's what we want you to ask. What is the next step? And so we dive in this morning to the word grow. Hebrews chapter 5, I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation version. I'll read it from my Bible. Listen to what it says. There is much more we would like to say to you about this, but it's difficult to explain. Now, Paul's about to bring some zinger words right here, so stand by. These are not the preacher's words. These are God's words through Paul, all right? Are you with me on that? First of all, everybody say, I got that, preacher. I did not write this, okay? Just want to make sure. Especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Now, aren't you glad you came to church? God says sometimes we are spiritually dull and we don't listen. Right? You have been believers so long now, watch this, that you ought to be teaching others. There are many of you in this room who have been believers a long time. And Paul says you ought to be teaching others. Now, somebody says, well, I don't have the gift of teaching. We're not talking about teaching necessarily in a life group. We're talking about teaching and pouring your lives into individuals. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong. All of us have a tendency to be at comfortable and get at ease in Zion. We have a tendency to get to a certain spot and put it on autopilot or cruise control sometimes when our spiritual life is concerned. And it's a natural thing that all of us can do. Sometimes we do it, we don't even realize that we do it. And Satan loves it when we get on autopilot because that's when we become prime targets, right? Because we're not paying attention to how fast. When you put that cruise on, I don't look at the speedometer anymore, right? Until what? So I say, Highway Patrolman, thank you, Tony, right? And no matter how fast you're going, your foot automatically is going to hit, Brad Bird, that brake pedal. Just can't help it. When we saw y'all, we just panic. Now, some of you don't because you've never gone to a speed limit in your life. And God bless people like you. I love you. I love to pass you in the left lane. I do. I appreciate you. I'm kidding. Right? So we panic. Why? Because we're not paying any attention. All of a sudden, something grabs our attention. For some of us, the only time that we grow is when something bad happens or something grabs our attention. And then we find out all of a sudden we're not as deep as we thought we were. And we struggle, and we don't know why. And the reason we struggle is because we're not as deep as we needed to be. We've not been in the Word of God like we needed to be. We've not been praying. We've not been connected to the body like we needed to be. And so we find ourselves, these moments, we get easily rattled. Why? Because we're not growing. We've been on autopilot and on cruise control. It's kind of like we get a garden. When I lived in Alabama, we got to do some gardening, the boys and I, and Rebecca with our neighbor. She was the ministry assistant there. And we got to do some gardening. And, man, it was crazy. You could plow up that garden, be all fresh dirt, and we'd go and plant the peas and the butter beans and the corn, right? Oh, we used to love that, Mr. Billy and Ms. Sherry. We used to love to do that. And we'd go down there and plant all that stuff, and then you just leave it. And all of a sudden, about 3 or 4 weeks later, poof, these little sprouts start coming. It was amazing. Boy, I started getting hungry. About April or May, I started getting real hungry. Think about those peas. Now, I also didn't like it because he had to bend over and pick them. That was the worst part. But I thought about come July, there's going to be some fresh peas in the freezer. Now, here's the problem going between that. One year, Mr. Billy and Ms. Shirley went out of town, and there was this problem. There was deer. Blessed deer love to eat peas. Don't know why, but they love to eat peas. And so there'd be all these deer that would come in. He said, listen, I need you to do something. I need you to help me out while I'm gone. I'm like, help you? I do what? I need you to help me take care of the garden. I said, well, doesn't the garden take care of itself? I mean, you plowed it, you planted it. What more do you have to do? I mean, really, that seems pretty simple to me. He said, well, I don't know if you know or not, brother, there's these things called weeds. I said, oh, you get weeds in gardens? Oh, yeah, that's some really fertile soil. Not only that, the deer come in, so I need you to get this spray and spray it around the exterior. I'm like, sure, no problem. I'm thinking like insecticide. I don't know what it is. The most foul-smelling stuff I have ever smelled in my life. Something with rotten eggs in it. I don't know what was in it. Something to keep deer away. And I sprayed like this. You know, sprayed all around the garden trying to get deer out. So I felt really good about myself. I sprayed that thing. I came home. My jeans stunk. My shoes stunk. I come home, and I go up the next day, and I'm like, how'd we do? I came back and said, deer, they ate all the pee. I'm like, they said, did you spray? I'm like, oh, did I spray? I mean, I was covered in it. I sprayed it everywhere. Here's what we find out in our lives spiritually sometimes. We spray a spray around. We just kind of let the garden go and put it on autopilot. And all of a sudden, these weeds pop up. The deer come in. And spiritually speaking, we look up all of a sudden. We wonder why I'm not growing. I've plateaued. It's because we're not tending to our garden. We've tended to everything else. We've not tended to the single most important thing. And I'll be honest with you, this single message informs all the others. Because if we're growing in Christ, folks, we're going to be connecting. We're going to be committed to serve. And we're going to go. The problem is when we're not growing, those things don't happen. Boy, that was deep, wasn't it? That's deep. It's just true, isn't it? So here's what we need to know. Three things about this idea of growing. Number one, what is the Lord's part in all this? What does the Lord do? Because we understand the God's part in growing deeper. God has a part. Number one, the Lord's desire and command is for us to grow deep. The word is to mature. He wants us to mature. I want you to know that it's not optional for you as a Christian to think to yourself, well, I really don't have to grow. I've been saved. I've got my name on a church roll. I come to Sunday school life group every once in a while. I give every once in a while. I might even serve and volunteer to serve once in a while. But that's all that is required of me. And so many believers come to church on Sunday and they open their Bible. Maybe they bring your Bible. A lot of you have your Bible. Bless God for that. You've opened it. You're following along in your Bible or on your phone. Because I know all of you have your phones out right now are not playing games. You're on your Bible scriptures reading. I know all of you all do that, right? Because I can see a lot of you teenagers on the front row with Bibles in hand reading deeply, right? Yes, I knew it. I love those little faces. I'm in the Word. Holy glow right there. All right, so we're in the Word reading our Bibles on our iPads and our phones, right? We're ingesting. Here's the problem. We hear it on Sunday morning, and the next time, honestly, many of us, if we're not careful, we get on a spiritual cruise control list. We don't think about our Bible till next Sunday. Really? Well, that's the preacher's job to feed me. Hebrews chapter 5 warns us. It's not the preacher's job to feed you. Most of you ought to be able to feed yourselves. People like me saying to my sons, William and Matthew and Emma, hey, Emma, William, I want you to learn. I'm going to still feed you baby food in jar number 2 and give you a sippy cup with juice in it. That's half and half. Right? How foolish. I don't need that. You're not feeding me. But that's the way we treat God spiritually. We come like little birds. Oh, God, I'm coming to church. I need the preacher to fill me all full. Here's the call of a Christian, a child of God, a follower of Christ. It won't happen every week because I've been there too, but you ought to come into this room overflowing with the fullness of what God's doing in your life. Are you with me? Growing so deep that I come in this room. And can you think about this for a moment? What would happen if we all this week, every person in this building, grew deeper in their walk with God? We got in the Word of God. We prayed. We fasted. We did all the things that Christ is calling us to do. And we come in this building next Sunday. Can I tell you what this place will be like? Electric. You know why? Because it's not, oh, fill me up, preacher, so I can get a little bit of a fill-up so I can go out and I'll run out of it by Tuesday. And so I got to come back Wednesday so I get another fill-up so I can come back. No. The fill-up comes tomorrow morning when you get up or when you go to bed tonight. That's where the fill-up comes. You can open the Word of God for yourself and say, God, speak to my heart. Open the book of Galatians this week. I'm in the book of Galatians this week. I'm a quiet time. Listen to what it said to me. People say, well, preacher, why don't I read the Word of God? I don't get anything out of it. Well, listen, chapter 1, verse 15, been this verse all this week. But when he, God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb. Okay, let's just stop right there. People say, how do you read the Word of God? I don't know how to grow. Here's how you read. But he, Jesus, set you apart from your mother's womb. Did you realize and understand that every person who claims the name of Christ, he has set you apart all the way from your mother's womb? Well, I'm not significant. Nobody cares about me. My job doesn't matter. Well, then scratch this verse off. That's not what it says. And called me through his grace, was pleased, watch this, to reveal his son in me. What is my calling to grow as a Christ follower? Here it is, to reveal Jesus in you to others. And right now, it's a little bit hot in this building. Andy's got the air conditioner on. It's going to help us cool off a little bit. It's one of those Sundays. It's hard to get the temperature right. I am hot. And I'll be honest, I'm not glowing or glistening. I am sweating on my pores. Okay? Let me give you the Christian pore for a moment. You ought to be coming out of our pores, spiritually speaking, should ooze out Jesus. And if I'm growing, it's not something I have to go to myself and get up tomorrow morning and go, okay, tomorrow morning, I'm going to grow. okay, I'm going to seriously grow tomorrow, and I'm going to be like Christ, just kind of, so tomorrow, everybody walks around, you're looking like this all the time. What are you doing? I'm trying to push Christ out of my pores. I'm trying super hard. Is that what we have to do? No. We get in the Word of God and we grow. It will come out naturally because it's a part of who we are. We grow deeper. The Lord's call is a command for us to grow. I don't have to fly through these scriptures. 2 Peter 1:8, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 echoes from Hebrews chapter 5. And brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not able yet to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able to receive it, for you are still fleshly. Romans 8:29, maturity, here it is. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. What does Jesus desire for you? What is your call in your life? Here it is. I mean, this is so super simple, but so hard it seems sometimes, to become like Jesus. It is not to become like your mother or father. It is not to become like your grandparents. It is not to become like your best friend. Your call, my call in Christ is to become more like him. That's why God has us here. So we get to heaven. We don't have to go to Christ 101 school and figure out how to be like Jesus. We're figuring that out here and now. In our lives personally, in our families, in our schools, in our jobs, in our churches, we're figuring out by the grace of God what God does in us. Secondly, just got to fly through. The Lord causes the growth to happen. The Lord will cause the growth to happen. Again, I can't make growth happen. And by the way, growth doesn't happen overnight. If you plant something, you'll know. A little kid, we want to plant things in classrooms. Some of our teachers are here. We got to plant something. It will sprout like in 4 days. Your kids are gone. They're not going to pay any attention to the dirt pile anymore. But you get those little seeds or grass that'll pop up in about 3 days. They're interested. Folks, spiritual growth is a process. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes effort. But it's God who does the growth. 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about Apollos, and they were arguing about who made the growth go. And what does it say? I planted, verse 6 in chapter 1 Corinthians, but Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but it is God who causes the growth. Which leads us to the third thing that God does, and that is this: the Lord desires that we grow together. That we grow together. We don't grow separately. Now, we do grow individually. There's a responsibility all of us have as Christ followers and a calling in our lives to grow individually. By myself, in my quiet time, alone with the Lord, I am to grow. And as I'm dealing with my daily life, I'm to grow. But I don't do that in isolation. I do that together with the body of Christ. I continue to discover, and it's one of our big part of our targets. We won't get to all of our targets today. One of our targets is we would see 50% of those attending our worship services. So right now, about 150 folks. We want to see by 2020 involved in a small group of accountability of men and with men and women with women, groups of 4 and 5, meeting on a monthly basis, looking across and asking these kind of questions. Tell me, what is God teaching you in the Word this week? What has God been speaking to you about in your heart? What are you dealing with? What can I pray with you about? How's your marriage? How's your thought life? How's your quiet time? How's memorizing scripture? Who have you shared Jesus with lately? And all of a sudden, some of us are instantaneously going, ho, that ain't nobody's business but mine and God's. Can I give you a fresh word from God? That ain't true. That's not what the Bible says. How then can I fulfill the scripture that says bear one another's burdens if we all act like we don't have one? Oh, I've got your attention this morning. I can tell it's deathly still in here. I got your attention. You know why? Because a lot of us live like islands. And especially, men, hang with me, men. Men, we are the worst. Well, I'm a man, and I'll suck it up and deal with it. I'll deal with it by myself. I don't need nobody else. If I could, I'd bring my mentor up here on this stage. Maybe one day I will. The Lord provides that opportunity. My mentor, who I learned so much in ministry from, fell. And he fell mightily. He's a pastor. Dark days in my life. And this was his statement. I became an island, and nobody really knew me and knew what was happening in my life. That was my choice. And it destroyed him. Dear church family, listen to me carefully. You were never intended to grow by yourself. Because you know what we'll do? We will rationalize. We will make excuses. Right? We'll say, I'm fine and I'm good and life's fine. But when we get down to nitty-gritty and somebody looks across the table at you and says, tell me what God's teaching you in your walk with the Lord. And we go, God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Yeah. Trinity. That's what I'm learning. Or, man, God has just really enraptured my heart this week. I've been so reminded that God has set me apart to preach to the Gentiles. That verse may not be for you, but it was for me. It jumped off the page and went, quack! I go, I got it. I'm reminded. But more than preaching to the Gentiles, my call is for Jesus to come through my pores. Because guess what? This is the easier part for me. The harder part is to live it out on a daily basis. That's the hard part. Same it is for you. What is our part in growing deeper? Our part in growing deeper, we have to do several things. Number one, we have to put ourselves in the right place. We have to put ourselves in the right place. What do you mean by that? Hebrews chapter 10 tells us. Look what it says. Let us hold firmly to the hope that we have confessed, because we can trust God to do what he promised. Let us think about each other. Oh, there it is. See, I told you I didn't make it up. There it is right there. Let us think about each other and what? And help each other to show love and do good deeds. Because you know what we have a tendency to do? We won't show good deeds. We want to. We think about it. But the opportunity doesn't present itself. But all of a sudden, God puts before us 17 families who need shoes. 22 families who need food. And we all of a sudden, you have risen up. Listen, we have all. Now, we want you to keep bringing. Right, JR? But listen, we have almost all the money donated to take care of almost every child for food the rest of this year. You've responded marvelously. But if you're by yourself, you're not going to have that opportunity. You won't. Now, you might find it on your own, and bless God if you do, but you'll only be able to share it with you and yourself. But we get to share all this together. I get sidetracked. Y'all stop it. Quit that. Verse 25. You should not stay away from the church meetings as some are doing. Now, we don't have that problem in our church because everybody in our membership comes every week. Are y'all awake out there? Holy cow. Okay, because that's not the truth, is it? No, it's not. We got several hundred. We don't know where they are. You should not stay away from the church meeting as some are doing, but you should what? Meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming. And here's the problem. We're doing less of it and the day is coming. I just want to give you a word from my heart. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Period. That is not my opinion. That is not my thought. It is my conviction. But my conviction is based on what the Word of God says it is. It is the Lord's Day. Period. And the problem in our culture and why we have rampant things, multiple things that happen on Sundays now, and nobody blinks an eye, nobody bats an eye. Why? It's because it's the Lord's Day, period, comma, question mark. It is, isn't it? That's why we have in churches, you can talk to pastors and you'll find that over a course of a month or 6 weeks, we'll see different groups of people come through. That's how it works. If all of those who have been attending in the last 8 or 9 weeks all showed up on one Sunday, listen to me, we would not have room. Forget all the growth we want to see happen. Just from those who are already coming, attending, and are members, we wouldn't have enough room. And neither would Petal Harvey, and neither would Asbury, and neither would Calvary. None of these churches would have room. Because we've neglected, if we're going to grow, we have to put ourselves in the right place. And the right place, the first place for us to grow outside of our own individual quiet time is where? In the church. You can amen that one. It's okay because it's a good one. It's truth. And listen, I don't know about you, but I see the day of Christ drawing near. Do you? It's coming. That's not to scare us to death or freak us out, but it is to help us think for a moment. Christ is coming. Look over to our neighboring state. And by the way, lest you think it's not going to happen here, it's going to happen. Our neighboring state of Alabama, though they passed a constitution, amendment. It said this is the way we recognize marriage as God intended. They've lost the battle. There are some probate judges in Alabama. God bless them, who have had the courage and the conviction to say, I will not go against the word of God, no matter what the government may tell me. We listen to our presidents speak. We listen to congressmen speak. We look at ISIS. We look at all these things all over our world, and we wonder, where is it headed? I'll tell you where it's headed. It's headed towards the end of Christ's coming. And we have a calling and a responsibility to speak the truth in love, to warn, to share, to compel, to grow, to commit, and to go until every person hears the name of Christ. Because when he returns, that's it. It's over. And the question will be, what will be the legacy of Petal First Baptist? I look on that map back there, and how many people off that global map will be there because of the testimony and the witness and the growth of us? We got to put ourselves in the right place. Secondly, we got to put ourselves in the right position. If you want something to grow, now I am a horrible horticulturist, I think is how you say that word. Somebody that has the green thumb. I want you to know, I had the ability to kill even a cactus. Do you know how hard it is to kill a cactus? It's hard. Don't know what I did to it still to this day. You overwatered it. I watered like once every 2 weeks. I never even thought about it. Here's what I know about something to grow. Okay, this is deep. You ready for this? I studied long and hard. I did a little botany this week. Okay, you want something to grow, it's got to have sun. It's got to have rain, water. It's got to have the right soil. That's sun, showers, and soil. It's alliterated. You like that? It'll help you remember it. Lastly, it's got to have the right, and I couldn't find an S word for this one, the right temperature. All right? Put out freezing. It's going to be cold next weekend. You got to bring all your plants in. All those little flowers you planted, they're going to die if you don't do something about them. What? I have to put myself in the right place to grow. And I can't just plop myself down and say, well, here I am. Grow me, Lord, grow me. Now, that is the first step, but there's more to it than that. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 says, and now just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Watch this. Let your roots grow down into him. Not the preacher, not the deacon, not the church, not your mom and daddy. Grow deep in Jesus. My question to you is this, and mine is, how deep are your roots? Someone said, well, I really don't know. Well, I can tell you how deep your roots are, how deep your roots are when a difficult moment comes and how quickly you can topple over. That'll tell you how deep your roots are. Look at Hurricane Katrina. You can find the trees. And some of you know about some of those trees because they ended up inside of your house. Did not have very good roots. Right? I know some of you. I can look at some of you. I remember the roots. The tree stories you're telling. Pine trees. The roots are not good. They go this way, don't they? Miss Wilma, that's what I'm thinking of, Miss Wilma. They don't go this way, they go this way. Here's the challenge of the Church of America today. There are pockets where it is doing this, but it's not doing this. Here's our call, church body, here it is, to grow deeper. And as we grow deeper, the natural result is we will grow wider. But if we ever outgrow the wideness of what our deepness is, we will fall. Individually and as a church. Our part in growing deeper, put ourselves in the right place, put ourselves in the right position. Thirdly, put myself around the right people. I got a lot of scripture here, and time is just going to prevent me from reading all of these, but I pray you will go back and look at all of these. What do I mean, put myself around the right people? We want you in a life group. Our goal, our target is to have 85% of those attending worship in a life group by the year 2020, which will put us, our average attendance, around 400 in life groups by the year 2020. We don't have the unreasonable expectation to say all 100% because we know better. Now, we do have the expectation that we want every member to serve in ministry during the year in a mission opportunity one day. Everybody can do that. But we want 85% connected to a life group, deeply connected. Why? Because we grow better when we're around the right people. Fourthly, involve myself in the right process. In this process, in your group, in your life group, we want the process to work like this. We want every life group to be, if you will, almost a little church. and having its own function inside its church. So there's leadership. So you look at your life group and go, well, let's just say you're in Chris Rowe's life group. Well, Chris, congratulations. You volunteered. God bless you for volunteering. But you volunteered to lead this group. So, man, good luck. Hope it works out. Is that how the class is supposed to operate? How the small group? No way. Everybody takes ownership. So everybody says, what do I bring into the group? How can I serve? How can I help promote its growth? Because here's what we know. We want every group to have the right structure and the right DNA. And the right DNA is this. So we're going to hear these lots of times. We want the DNA to be this. Students in your life group, in your student ministry, in your group, adults, what do we want to see happen? We want to see your group multiply. We want to see rabbit life groups. Some of y'all can catch that in just a minute. Y'all know about rabbits? Are y'all that city-fied? Y'all don't know about rabbits? Okay, if you know about rabbits, they multiply rapidly. They have lots of baby rabbits. Lots and lots and lots and lots. Very, very quickly. We want our desire, our goal, terrible illustration. I'm just trying to help y'all wake up. Terrible illustration. Here it is. We want our life groups to multiply. Here's what we don't want. If that preacher comes in here and talks about splitting our class, I finally got it like I like it. And if he comes in and talks about making two classes out of one, I'm going to quit. I know nobody's ever said it in this church, and praise God. But I have been in other churches where the word multiplication caused separation, division, and it split for sure. It died. Well, I'm just not coming if we're going to split it. We don't want to split it. We want 6 or 8 or 10 of you to have the passion and the vision and the calling of God on your life that your class gets too big. You got to start another one. Is anybody with me? Oh, my goodness. I need a choir. I need Mount Vernon up here. We want you to grow new classes. We want to have a space problem. We already got one. We want to have a worse problem. Why? Because it's growing. Healthy things grow. But don't just put it all on your leader and say, well, leader, good luck. You have the ownership. You have the calling of God on your life to make that group grow. God does the growing, but you put the pieces together. Have the right perspective. We mentioned this already. Ephesians 4 reminds us, those that are tossed about by the wind, why? Because they haven't grown. Notice the last one, develop the right patterns. 1 Timothy 4:7. Take the time and the trouble to keep yourselves spiritually fit. Spiritually fit. Let me ask you a question. Are you spiritually fit? I know right now that I am not physically fit. Many of you are. You running people. Y'all just make us sick. Good night. God bless y'all. I saw these people in here. Marathon. Couch of the marathon. I got the couch part down. I got it down good. Is anybody awake in this building? I mean, really. Y'all are kind of with me, sort of. But the rest of y'all, are y'all with me? And y'all are all running, and you feel convicted, you ought to be helped through. I don't know. We started this building. We started working on this second floor up here. And we came up here, and this is embarrassing. I shouldn't even tell you this. We're the second flight of stairs, and Dee and I come in the workers. I got to show you this. We get to the top of the stairs, and I'm like, Dee, this is awesome. You got to see this up here. Whoa! From there to the top of the second flight. So I hope we don't finish the second floor anytime soon because it's too much work. We aren't physically fit, but spiritually fit. How fit are we? What do you mean spiritually fit? Are you in the Word of God? Are you journaling? Are you praying? Are you memorizing the Word of God? Are you ingesting the Word of God? And not just reading your little 4-second devotional and getting and going, oh, that's really great. Thank you, God. And then we think about it tomorrow morning. No, that we ingest it and it's part of our day. And so that Galatians 1:15, I shared that verse like 3 times that day with somebody because I ran into different people who needed to hear this word from God. I got to a pregnancy choices board meeting and I said, listen, by the way, just want to remind you, this verse just popped off the radar today. I've seen it a million times, but God has set you apart from his mother's womb. And that's what this ministry is called for. So it's part of who we are. It's a process. And it's what Satan will do his best to keep you from because he knows this, folks. He knows if you and I start growing deeper in our personal walk with God, we become a danger to the enemy. Many of us are of zero danger to the enemy. We don't endure any persecution. Nobody bothers us. Why? Because we're not on the edge living for Christ. We're not growing deep like we need to be. And I'm not here to beat you up or to thank you God going, boy, I feel terrible about myself. I hopefully will inspire you and encourage you that under grace we're free to grow in Him. What does it produce? Watch what it produces. You ready for this? Four things it produces. Here they are. A healthy church. A healthy church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says in verse number, find the right spot here. Verse 15, we're not barging in on the rightful work of others, interfering with their ministries, demanding a place in the sun with them. What we're hoping for is that as your lives grow in faith, watch this, you'll play a part within our expanding work. Paul comes to peddle First Baptist in Corinth and says to them, hey guys, you can have a part as you grow. You'll have a part in our work where we're going where you're not to expand the kingdom. And so as we're growing and we grab where my bulletin is, got the little flyer in it. We got four folks going to Indonesia. We mentioned this last week. They're going to Indonesia. But guess what? I'm going with them. Right here in my office in Petal, Mississippi. Well, I'm going to have a part of growing the kingdom because I'm going to be part of the expanding work of the kingdom. You know, God's desire for our church to be is healthy. Our church right now is really healthy. We are blessed. We don't have a lot of conflict, a lot of people mad or upset or ticked off that I know of. Anybody mad and upset? Speak now, forever hold you peace. No, I'm kidding. Hopefully not. We're healthy. We're not perfect. Are we perfect? No. Do we have some problems? I'm sure we do. No doubt, a growing thing's going to have problems. There are going to be weeds. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be difficulties. But God's desire is for our church, and not just for our church, for every church in this area to grow. We know, though, statistically speaking, the number of churches that are plateaued and declining and closing are happening at an alarming rate. We are one of the few. And we thank God for it. But God wants us to be even healthier. Secondly, it produces healthy groups. We want to see healthy life groups. We want to see people deeply committed to your life group. Not only deeply committed to coming to worship, but deeply committed more so to a life group. To be known, to know other people, to study God's word together, to ask questions, to interact together, to figure out what it is that God wants us to do and who He wants us to be. And we do that together around the word of God, asking questions, getting to know people, involving other people in the body and the work of Christ. We want healthy groups, groups that have maybe one of the positions in your group of having a healthy structure would be, here's our dream. I'm going to give you a little bit of the go part because I can't help it. We have a desire that your life group, eventually, that ministry and missions would happen within your life group. And so we wouldn't have to try to find a ministry for you or a mission that Chris Rhodes, since I mentioned him earlier, would have a ministry. So let's just say, for example, their ministry is, because it just came to my brain, Shekinah Glory. And so their calling for the year 2015 is to do Shekinah Glory. And they do it together over and over and over again, pour in Shekinah Glory. Maybe somebody's life group says, we're going to do Petal Primary. That's all we're going to do. We're not going to do anything else. We're going to do Petal Primary. You get the idea. Thirdly, produces healthy leaders. One of the things we identified of a church that's being transformed is a church that has vibrant leadership. A church that is not dependent. Watch this. And I'm big on this. Some people say, yeah, I'm really not, but I really am. I am huge on this. That is not dependent upon the preacher. Seriously, you know my calling, my job? Really, that's the way I feel about it. Outside of being your shepherd, I want to work myself out of being in charge. I want you to have it. I don't want it. I can't spin that many plates. I'm way, way, way too ADD to do that. A lot of them are going to drop. And I'm trying to practice. And I want you to know it. This group going to Indonesia? Now, fleshly speaking, I'm glad y'all are going and I'm not going. Fleshly speaking. Spiritually speaking, I struggle because I think I should go. And next weekend, Annabeth and Chad and Felicia Greenwood are flying to Ohio to check it out. I feel like I should be there. And I feel like I should be at Shekinah Glory every time. I should be doing every kind of mission thing. I should be doing all those things. You know what I'm learning? We got some wonderfully talented, beautiful people here who have the skills to lead. Why in the world would I get in the middle of it and mess them all up? I'm going to empower you to go do it. It doesn't depend on whether you got a preacher or not. You're going to follow Jesus to fulfill the call of God in our lives. We want to see vibrant leaders. We want to see you rise up and fulfill your calling. Don't just come in here and sit and warm a chair. We can turn the heat up and warm the chairs up. We don't need just seat warmers. We need those who say, God, what is my call? How can I fulfill it here? We're not just making up these teams because we can't think of anything else better to do. We are super duper rooper serious. I mean, how serious can you be? We want you connected and serving and finding your call to be a leader in this church. And lastly, healthy Christ followers. Healthy Christ followers. Those that are deeply engaged in getting to know Christ deeper. And as a result, you're going to know yourself better. And the deeper you grow, the more you can help others grow. Because here's what we know to be true. Here's what we know to be true. We won't challenge anybody to grow any deeper than we are. Isn't that true? I can tell you all day to grow deep, but if I'm not growing deep, then here's all I am. Sometimes my wife would probably tell you I am. I'm a lot of hot air. I'm Charlie Brown's teacher. Rah, 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 rah. And I'm going to be real confessional. Over these last 2 years, there have been some desert moments in my spiritual walk with the Lord. I'll be honest with you. People say, well, preacher, you have all the time in the world. You have quiet times, hours a day. Children come back in my office and look at me and say, what do you do back here? Well, I have candles and we... I just sit and meditate all day. It's just a great job. There are days I wake up, I don't feel like reading my Bible. Did he just say that out loud? That's what I said. There are days that I probably don't act very Christ-like. God has given me a fresh word this week that I've been set apart. And I must grow deeper and deeper. Because if I'm going to call you to grow deep, then I've got to go even deeper. Because I don't want to lead you where I'm not first one to go myself. Oh, church family, may we hear God's call to be transformed by growing deeper. How deep are your roots? How much are you growing? May we hear God's call. Would you pray with me this morning?